In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The first Sunday of our Lenten season is truly and properly the beginning of this great journey of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And in her wisdom, the Church sets before us the power of our Lord and the clear articulation that indeed he is the Son of God as he overcomes temptation. The Lord is driven into the desert by the Spirit, that same Spirit that was present at his baptism. And after being in the Spirit and fasting, and of course we know in prayer to his Father, he finds himself hungry and unattended. This is the only situation in which Satan would ever be able to approach God, to, in a sense, place his hands upon God himself. But that is indeed what transpires. And what is set before our Lord is the temptations of the flesh, the temptations of the world, avarice and greed, and of course, pride of self. Satan sets all these before the Lord because, as he himself says at the very beginning, if you are indeed the Son of Man, then you will be able to do this, that, or the other thing. Seems to be a trick, and that is, after all, what Satan does. He lies, and he tricks us. But the Lord, because he is the Son of God, knows that the precise answer not only is the reality of Scripture that he quotes to Satan himself, but the depth of relationship that is expressed by the passages of Scripture from which our Lord quotes. The Lord relies upon the Father. He does this in humility and in complete poverty and in complete obedience. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He is God himself, and on one level, therefore, need not necessarily rely upon his Father, but that's precisely what he chooses to do in freedom, in obedience. And on doing so, understands the significance of what this actually is and reveals to us the necessity of explicit trust and confidence in our Heavenly Father. Because the same temptations that Satan sets before our Lord are those that are set upon us as well. To take care of our baser needs and to be led by things connected to the flesh. To be concerned about the world in which we find ourselves and get caught up in the greediness of the world itself. Or the greatest temptation, to believe that I can take care of myself through my own devices, through my own strength, by my own native talent. Of all the temptations, brothers and sisters, I believe we must confront, I think it is this third that is the most difficult, not only to confront, but not to succumb to. How easy it is, because of the world in which we find ourselves, to believe that we are self-contained units, that we don't need God. And if we need God, it's only in those more dire and extreme moments. But other than that, I can take care of myself. I can be the master of my own destiny. I can be the director of my own fate. And how often have you done that? How often have you done that and proceeded in that manner and find yourself failing over and over and over again? How many times must you put out into the deep by yourself, sink deliberately to the bottom, only to have God be the one who raises you up, only to yet again believe that you do not need God? Therein lies the lie that Satan tells us. He whispers it in our ears over and over and over again. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord, the Spirit, only speak truth, only our truth, only bring truth. God does not deceive. God does not lie to us. God does not misdirect. He has always spoken clearly and plainly to us what was required of us because of our relationship with him, but more importantly, what it is that he will and is and always will do for us in order to assist us in having right relationship with him. In order to better cooperate with the grace of God, we need to root out sin. We must have frequent recourse to the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, but especially in this Lenten season. If you have gone at the beginning of Lent, you need to go in the middle and the end. Is this too often to go to confession? I'm not sure there is such a thing about going too often to confession if it assists you in rooting out the sinfulness in your life that will impede God's grace coming and truly making his dwelling in you. If we know of the history of our great saints, St. John Paul II, St. Teresa of Calcutta, who went to confession on a daily basis, if they themselves saw fit and understood how significant it was to have recourse to God on a daily basis at the throne of mercy, if they themselves recognized their sinfulness and understood that they needed to have recourse to God to root out that sin, how can we keep ourselves from that same tribunal of justice and mercy? Take advantage of the sacrament as often as is necessary, as you feel God is calling you to do so throughout this Lenten season. If it is too frequently, the priest will communicate that to you. Until then, nothing will come to you in a harmful way in approaching and receiving God's mercy. Only goodness will come to you. It will provide you the strength you need in order to avoid the very temptations that will pull you away from God. The prayers that you are undertaking in this Lenten season, again, to draw you closer to the Lord in order that you can take the Lord's life and then have the Lord's strength in order to avoid the temptations that come into the world. And then the almsgiving that you do, the reaching out to those less fortunate. It may be precisely through your prayers or the example that you provide that you give the greatest gift to those less fortunate, especially because of the world in which we find ourselves. So many people, even in the life of the church herself, are blind to the power of God and the necessity of God in their lives. Brothers and sisters, I cannot tell you enough, and tell you often enough, that apart from God, we literally can do nothing. When will you begin to believe this? Because it is the question I ask myself each time I begin my day in prayer. When I look back at the day before and realize how often I went about my business as if it all depended upon me and God had nothing to do with what I was about. It happens over and over and over again. Fortunately, God loves me. God is merciful. He forgives my errant ways. But it is incumbent upon me to cooperate with the very grace that God bestows upon me. I can't ask God to help me and then do nothing. I can't beg God for his grace and mercy and then do nothing with that grace and mercy when he bestows it upon me. And if I seem more earnest than I normally do, it's because the world is in desperate need of who we are and what we are all about. This may not be what it is you feel called to, but it really doesn't matter. Because your baptism has placed you squarely as an agent of God's transformative grace. And you need to take advantage as best as you possibly can of these days of our Lenten journey to be the instrument of salvation, not only your own salvation, but for the salvation of all those that God entrusts to you, that God puts in your way, that God brings into your life. Because if we, brothers and sisters, cannot rely upon the Lord in the most radical of ways, it'll be difficult for the rest of the world that has succumbed to the temptations of Satan, that everything now has been turned upside down. Lies have become truth, and truth has become hated. But there is no reason to fear. There's no reason to doubt. There's no cause for anxiety or despair or trepidation. Because God is victorious, God's grace is all-powerful, and Satan has indeed been conquered once and for all. This is why we again come to the throne of mercy, why we entreat our Lord for his grace, why we continue to seek to be transformed, because we know it indeed can happen. We have to avoid the lie of modernity, the lie of Protestantism that tells us that God's grace hangs out there somewhere in the ether but never really comes to me and transforms me. Nothing could be further from the truth. God's grace will always be transformative. If it is not, it's because of us and not because of him. So our journey has begun, and the Lord has set us on the right path. And he has provided us the tools and the instruments and the means by which we can cooperate with him on a daily basis. I enjoin you to take all of this very seriously. Do not lightly excuse yourself from the disciplines that the church places upon us, nor those disciplines that you have individually undertaken. Take advantage of the spiritual disciplines that the oratory provides for you in order to grow closer to the Lord. And then in the fullness of time, as you cooperate more completely each moment of each day with God's grace, like our Lord, you will be able to avoid the temptations that Satan places before you. With great firmness of conviction, you will say to Satan, "Be gone." And as he leaves, the Lord himself will come and make his dwelling in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.